Also, just to let you know, I'm audio recording this, and then I think I'm going to shoot some video too, so.
Okay. Is that good enough for everyone? Okay. Hi everyone, I know some of you, and I don't know some of you, but my name is Lehua, and I'm Mike DuPont's intern this year. I've been with him for about a year now, a little less than a year, but one of my projects while working for Mike with Extension Service is I did a trial with Waikea High School as kind of a like an educational, introduce them to natural farming, and I introduced myself to natural farming because I'm just a beginner. So it was fun, I got to learn with the kids and see the whole process. So I'll just jump into it. Our objectives were to compare natural farming with other forms of farming. So we had two rows, one that we were managing with IMOs and natural farming, and one that we just let the students do what they wanted to do with it, like a conventional, you know, plant your taro. Another objective was to teach the students the basic concepts and expand the natural farming practices at Waikea. This is the high school. They have a Korean natural farming piggery that some students put up. They're real determined, and they put it up, and it's up there, no smell, right on campus. You know, it's really cool. So this was kind of, we're trying to follow that up. That was done a couple years ago. So we're trying to, like, push it a little more. Let's continue to grow this kind of thing.
How many pigs?
They have two right now, but it's about half of this, just one stall, but pretty cool. So first, I'll just go through all the steps that we did. First, we prepped. Should I turn off some lights, or that way you can see the pictures? I don't know. Don't fall asleep. So the main thing that the kids helped out with was planting the taro. And so we prepped it. This was a big kind of weedy lawn for a long time. They threw the goats in and chewed it down a little bit. And then we had the kids go down and to get it pretty low, down to the grass with weed eaters. And then we had the kids, we had mulch to make a row. That and got them all involved, got them all dirty, and it was interesting. Like I was one of those kids who loved to do it, but there were some kids that didn't know things, and it was cool to just see them all get dirty, down and dirty. So then we planted, and we had there was taro growing there around in that pasture, and then they had some taro in another area, so we just pulled up these hulis, and they were pretty decent, but we planted them all and had the kids do that, you know, one arm length apart, and they had a lot of fun with that. And then we watered them, we inoculated with IMO, and we also sprayed. We sprayed with IMO2 in a 1 gallon sprayer, fermented plant juice, and for the first day that we inoculated, we put in the seawater, and that's the first day. And so the procedure that I did, I would go up there every Friday throughout the trial and spray the kalo with IMO2 and fermented plant juice, kind of aiming at the back of the leaves and down into the where the corn, where everything meets, to kind of collect water. So that was how I was spraying. So we used the 1 gallon sprayer, which you can get at Ace for like $10 or $15 or something like that, And then we used water from their fish pond. They have aquaculture. We used water from there because you don't want to use like water from the tap or else it'll have chlorine in it. So either let your water sit or if you're on catchment, that's good water to use. And then two bottle caps of IMO2 and then two bottle caps of FPJ, fermented plant juice. So we came back the next week and the goats had eaten everything. They had left a goat in, and you know, they don't usually eat the taro because it's itchy, like when we eat it without cooking it, but I think it was so young that they just went for it, and the chickens also. So not only was it all eaten, but it was also kicked up everywhere and like all over the place. So we kind of changed our thinking, and we put a black plastic that we had at the site onto it and kind of like tried to replant and poke holes and pull the little guys through, but a lot of them, there's a couple poking through, but a lot of them were chewed down to little nubs. So I was like, I know natural farming's good, but I don't know if they can revive these little things. So, but when we came back, week after week, I kept spraying these poor little things that were like eaten, and by week five, they were starting to bounce back. And this was actually a really windy day, and I was surprised how strong the plants were, and they were taking, you know, they were strong and green and all that. So then we'll just go through kind of each week. They got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they really look really healthy and green. No aphids. So it's really, really cool. I took it next to the sprayer to kind of show how big it is. And they just were so dense, you know, keikis coming out of the bottom, and the leaves are, you know, you barely see any dead leaves. They all just keep going. So we ended it at 13 weeks about 2 weeks ago, and this was our row of natural farming kallow, and this was our row of conventional kallow, and I think they tried to do some bokashi, but they didn't really follow up with it. But so I kind of did a test with me as the gauge up here, and that's our natural farming taro that's up to, you know, well up to my stomach, and then these are only up to my knees. That was pretty cool. Yeah, that's the results, and the fun part was working with the kids, and I took them all out. Like, I went into the class and took them all out and interviewed them, and they were all, it was just really cool. They're like, oh, yeah, didn't expect that and stuff. And the cool thing is that the teacher, he saw the kids do the piggery, but he wasn't really planning to do anything more. You know, he's sold on the piggery, but, you know, it's too much work, and you have to implement all your education, and he's got to do curriculum and all that. So we kind of just went in and did this project to be like, hey, this works, and it's not hard, and now for people who are who don't make it on their own, they can, if they have to, it's not the best, but they can buy IMO at KTA and buy the sprays if they have to. And that's a good way to introduce it. And then when you want to go on a bigger scale, like they call him Kobe, Mr. Kobayashi, he said once they get on a bigger scale, then they can start making their own IMOs, which is kind of backwards, but at least it's natural farming. So one point that he brought up that was really cool is that it's sustainable and readily available, and no matter what happens on the outside market, we have natural farming. We have everything we need to do natural farming here and make a high quality product. So that's kind of what this was all about. And so hopefully they did have tours, different schools came over to see, and people are inquiring about the project. So they're going to be implementing natural farming more into their curriculum. And yeah, this is a demonstration model for other programs. So, I mean, I don't know which, there's like La Pahoehoe, Konawina, different schools that still have ag left, and not all of them are doing natural farming, but it is a great way, it's safe, and it's, there's a lot of good to be done in education with natural farming. That's how we're going to get the next generation to grow our food. So, yeah, it was a great learning experience for me and for them. And, yeah, I think that's... Oh, and here's the kids next to their Carol. They're good kids down there at Waikea High School. And that's it. Kept it short and sweet because I know you're all hungry. I am.
Yeah, you want to turn the lights on? And there was light. Oh, can I take that and put that presentation on here?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it in a sec.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. So, thank you, Lehua. It's cool to see success in the schools, because then that really has an impact on the kids further on and stuff. So that's really awesome you did that.
Before you go, the Qigong master in China had some pictures of they were pouring qi up to one group of plants, and the other plants were left alone. And you could see the difference between the plants, just like that, those that got qi and those that just grew. And they were treated all equally, water, fertilizer. The only difference was this one group, the other people were going over and giving qi. This was an idea, or organic. But qi was the difference. And the plant that got you grew like that, so I know it was. So I wanted to put that in. So organic farmers can start giving qi to me.
That's the next trial.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I also think plants that have Mozart played to them do much better than rock and roll.
Did anybody have any questions for Lehu?
I have one. Yeah. The conventional farming row of taro, did it get fertilizer inputs or anything?
I'm not sure if they did. I think they did. I'm not sure. I kind of let them do what they
wanted. Yeah, they pretty much did. And after they started eating those plants after the 7th week, the guy stopped coming. Because he gave up, because he didn't want to be safe face. This girl was just starting.
Okay.
The water that we used, you want to take it from water that's either standing. You don't want to take it straight from like county water.
The seawater. Yeah.
Oh, the seawater.
Yeah,
I thought I heard this was we inoculated with, we put little dilutions of different IMO, and seawater is one of the inputs. And you guys are all natural farming. What is it, the seawater?
30.
What is it doing?
You're providing different organisms from the ocean, that live in the ocean, with bacteria and up there, but also trace minerals that are from the ocean that have been washed out of the rain. So it's getting two different things.
Yeah. So that was just on the first day that we inoculated the soil.
Okay. I'm at the meeting.
And this is probably my last week working for Mike, and I'm going to be heading to the mainland for a vacation, and then I'll be moving to Oahu, but I hope to be around, and I'll be back once I get my degree.
I don't want to work there, so I'm just going to get my degree and come back. But it's nice meeting all of you guys, and I'll be around.
Yeah, but you still see the Lord, because the Lord got into graduate school, and she will be working with the cattle and made money. So she's still going to be around. On the 16th, she graduates. So as soon as she sticks her hand out, that's when she joins the line of unemployed. So that's her last day working here in that extension office. But it's been a pleasure working with you. She's done a lot of things here. She's kind of held the office together for me because she found out that I'm all scatterbrained. I'm all over the place. Yet. But I'm just trying to get this natural farming going. And the thing that we noticed when you get started with natural farming, especially in the schools, you gotta keep going back. Because if we just sprayed 1 week and don't go back, we wouldn't have adopted the program. But we were there every week, every Friday, and he knew exactly what we were doing. And he said, I can do that. So that's the reason, that's the catch. You cannot just teach on class and leave the students alone. You gotta call them back and ask them, how are you doing? That's what's happening in Honolulu. You guys do the class. After the class, they call you. I don't know you. Okay. That's why natural farming has not taken off in Honolulu. We did the survey. They said there is no support system on the ground to keep us going. I can't even buy inputs if I wanted to. The Big Island is a lot different. You can go to Kona, you can go to Hilo, you can go to Puna. Every week there's some kind of workshop going on. It's a big difference. Yes.
I think Molokai started a co-op where they're making all the farming.
Molokai is coming like the Big Island thanks to Drake. Drake is the one who's been going over there. Making sure all the higher ones are solid that they're putting in. You know, we had some hotshot guys that were in that group that took Drake over there at the computer and the microscope. One workshop and corrected them right there. What they were doing, taking all the shortcuts and they're making up their inputs, it all stopped. Because he pointed out the bomb for us for the computer microscope.
It's good to see what you're working with. Okay, so who's here? Is this their first time coming to a natural farming meeting? Okay, so I do up here. I would, if you'd like to get emails and things, please write your name and your email legibly here on this paper after we have this this little break here. What we're going to do is we'll sing A Whole Mai together, which is a Hawaiian chant that brings the wisdom from above and the power from below and brings them here to this area. And it's E Ho Mai. It's a classic, well-known chant. And so what we're going to do is we'll get in a big circle. We'll all hold hands with our neighbor, share some microbes with them. And we'll do the E Ho Mai chant together. And then you can help yourself to some food. I believe there's plates and things over there. But best to be zero waste if you can. And then after we're done eating, I'll kind of call everyone together and we'll start with a pig presentation. So let's all gather around.
Okay. ike mai luna mai e. O na mea huna noiau o na mele. E ho mai, e ho mai, e ho mai e. Ho mai ka ike mai luna mai e. Nā mea huna noiau o nā mele. E ho mai, e ho mai, e ho mai e. Ho mai ka ike mai luna mai e. O nā mea huna noiau o nā mele.
Thanks for coming. Food. Also take this time to meet people that you don't know, talk story, share some natural farming things, meet people you do know, you know.
You have